Welcome to the JAWS 12 What's New recording, October 2010. I'm Eric Damery, Vice President of Software Product Management for Freedom Scientific, and along with me is Dan Clark, who is in charge of the training department here and heads up production on webinars and the different training courses that we offer. Dan, how you doing today?
Doing great, Eric. Good to see you again.
Yep, it's good to be here. I always look forward to getting into the recording studio around this time of year for the new release and take the covers off of it and get it out there for the consumers. I think before we get to 12, I want to mention a couple of other significant things that we've rolled out this year. First, Magic version 11. We have now introduced a new solution that is a true dual monitor magnification product. And this is the first to hit the market that actually works as a real dual monitor option. We're not just talking about extending magnification of a window across two monitors. We're actually running one application in one monitor and one application in the other monitor, the way most folks do, and running magnification in both. And we provide for you a navigation aid to be able to jump focus and your mouse pointer between the two monitors so you can work back and forth between two apps without having to scroll the window. It's a great solution and people really appreciate this. Works well in conjunction with JAWS or use Magic by itself. The Magic with speech and Magic magnification only are great solutions. The price is right and this is just a dynamite product. We get a lot of good feedback. Also, this year we released an upgrade for OpenBook version 9. Came out this summer. In addition to OpenBook 9, the big news really is the Pearl camera that we've introduced. And this is a replacement for a scanner. So it gives you a portable option. It's a digital camera on a stick. It's very, very lightweight, easily carried around in your backpack along with your laptop, and plugs in with a USB to your computer. Run OpenBook. Throw a piece of paper under the camera, push a keystroke, and within a matter of seconds, it snaps the picture, it OCRs the image, and starts reading it to you right away. So it's a great option. And there's even an option in this OpenBook 9 with the camera now that you can have a real view and the OCR'd image that's been scanned, so you have a split view. So you can literally see your real image in half the window on your computer, while the text that's been OCR'd is in the other half of the window. And as it's reading, there's a highlight to line up the two images so you'll know just where you are in your real image while it's reading through the text. Great product. Feedback has been phenomenal. We had a really good showing with it this summer at the conventions, and it's been going like hotcakes. We initially had introduced the Pearl camera as an option to go with OpenBook at $1,195. The camera's been on special for $600, and that special's been extended through March of 2011. So if you haven't taken advantage of it yet, for $600, get yourself a great portable solution. OpenBook itself is a $995 product, and it is an upgrade from any previous version of OpenBook for $150. So basically with the camera for $600, the OpenBook upgrade for $150 if you have an old license, it's a pretty good time to be upgrading to the latest and greatest. So I hope folks will take advantage of that. Also new this year, I wanted to highlight a little bit about what Dan's been busy doing with webinars. He's really taken it to a new level, and if you haven't had an opportunity to check out what a webinar is and how it works and how it might benefit you, whether you're a beginner JAWS user or a novice or even a pro or maybe a teacher, take a look at the webinars. There's many free ones available, and there's some paid-for webinars that are a little longer that you can take advantage of. If you go to the Freedom Scientific Training Headquarters, you'll find all the details, and there's even a little test course there that you can try out your system with. These webinars allow you to participate or sit back and just listen to the course and listen to others asking questions. You don't necessarily have to get that engaged, but it does give you a chance to participate with questions, and I think people will really like it and take advantage of it. We've had a lot of folks from overseas, I guess, huh, Dan?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd say one out of every four people is from outside the United States.
Yeah, so the time zones being different, they don't have to travel here for a class. Some of your webinars run over the course of 6 to 7, 8 hours?
Well, one actually goes 12 hours, yeah. But and they're spaced out over several weeks.
Okay, and so you give them in one-hour segments.
Right.
And they don't have to take it when you're giving it. They can listen to it at off hours if they work during the day. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, we provide an archive, so that gives them the ability to have access to the course 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Great. Well, I know so many of us have heard a lot about these webinars, and I think it's a good opportunity for someone to go in and give it a listen and see how it works. So even if you're not ready to sit down and spend the time taking a webinar, visit the training headquarters and check out the solution, see how it works. Research it. Well, the first feature I want to talk about in this JAWS 12 What's New is actually from JAWS 11. We added an option called Research It. The users have really responded to it. We've updated it several times during the course of the year with suggestions from customers and built in several things. And most recently, we made some modifications to how our national U.S. sports teams' scores can get reported and displayed. And we did this with the NFL season starting. For the NFL scores, we've also added something in for NCAA college football. And as the baseball season has just wrapped up, we had updated the baseball to do it the same way. And I think we're have added this in now for hockey as well. So any of the U.S. and Canadian friends that pay attention to hockey will appreciate that. I do want to start out by a demonstration of how the football works a little bit, so you'll get an understanding.
Escape, leaving menus, start button.
So I'm on my Dell laptop running Windows 7, 64-bit. I've got the JAWS 12 final public beta version installed. This is a build 492. The release version is scheduled to get built any day now. I think in the next 24 to 48 hours, we're hoping to get that built. If we don't see anything significant here with this, once the public beta had gotten released. So you should have a little newer build that I'm running, but all the functionality will be the same. So to get to Research It, I hold down the JAWS key and I hit the space bar. And I hear my noise, my little click, and it's waiting for me to do a keystroke following that. So this is kind of our layered commands. So R for Research It.
Research It dialog, word or phrase edit combo, zero items.
And of course, remember, this assumes you have an internet connection at the moment. If you have an internet connection, the whole idea behind Research It is it gives us a lot of different things that we can look up quickly off the web and bring that information back. So if I had a particular week in the football that I was interested in, seeing what the schedule is or what the scores were from the prior week, I could put in a date from the next week or the prior week. If I put no date at all, it will just use the current week, and that's what I wanted to show. So I'll leave word or phrase empty.
List view, NFL scores, 14 of 23.
And I landed on my list. There's 23 different lookups available to you. Please go in and look through these. If you're not sure about anyone in particular, after you're on it, you can tab forward and you'll get a help window. Let's go look at the help window for NFL.
Read only edit. Type a date.
And I'll start a say all, so we'll read it all.
Type a date using the /DD/AI date format for a list of games scheduled or played during that NFL week. Search results display in the virtual viewer as a link so that you can open a web browser and read a recap of past games or a preview of future games. Navigate between the dates displayed for the week using paragraph navigation commands.
Okay. I'll move back into the list.
List view, NFL scores.
And I'll just press enter on NFL.
NFL scores. Week 6.
So it gives me the week 6 because that's the week we're in at the moment.
Land, Sunday, October 17th.
And it looks to the next Sunday that is going to be played, which is coming up here shortly. We're on the 14th today.
Link Seattle Seahawks at Chicago Bears, 1 p.m. Fox.
So each game will be listed as a link. It'll give you the start time, and it will give you the television network that's carrying it.
Link Miami Dolphins at Green Bay Packers, 1 p.m. CBS. Link San Diego Chargers at St. Louis Rams, 1 p.m. CBS.
And if you press enter on one of these links, it'll open your browser, and it will put you on a page with a nice little overview of that game and any of the key highlights or pieces of information you might want to know. So let's take a look at this particular game between the Chargers and the Rams.
Windows Internet Explorer connecting .. 1%. Page has 30 links. ESPN.
Okay, so it puts me on an ESPN page, and this is a page designed for mobile devices, so it doesn't give you too many graphics, and it gets you some text. And if you hit N a couple of times to skip past some of the links.
Left parent 2-3 right. Join the discussion in section 1. Next games colon SD colon. The San Diego Chargers are 2-3 for a fourth consecutive season. But in their past three subpar starts, they've gone on to win the AFC West.
So I hit N 4 times and got down to this section where it starts talking about the game. And you can just arrow through it or start to say all.
Lang, if they plan on following that same pattern, they'll need to figure out a way to cut down on their many mistakes. Lang, the Chargers have been plagued by turnovers and dropping all three of their road games, a trend they'll try to reverse when they look for the franchises.
So it gives a pretty good overview of what's going on. It really gives you the analyst look at what the game is. And I think users, especially real good NFL fans, will appreciate this. I know I did in the baseball season. When I would look at these screens, it would give me a great overview of the game. Now, if the game has already taken place, so if I put in last week's date and I looked at the scores from last week, each one is a link, and it will bring you to this page, and it will give you a recap of what happened. So it gives you a pretty good summary. Again, you'll find this for NHL hockey, and you'll also find these for the NCAA college football. I think we've got the football ones live right now, so you should be able to check those out. Research it. Again, we've continued to tweak it as customers have called in with some suggestions. We've made some fixes and changes there, so please be sure to keep a close eye on it.
Alt F4, start button.
Place markers in Word. Okay, the first JAWS 12 feature that I want to talk about and demonstrate a little bit is a real simple feature. It's one that I wish we had put in earlier. We hadn't gotten around to it, but we did get it in now, and I think you'll like it.
Menu, search box, edit.
I'm going to launch Microsoft Word.
W-O-R-D, Microsoft Word. Leaving menus, cancel button, opening dash Microsoft Word, document 1 dash Microsoft Word.
And I'll just type in a couple of quick sentences here.
T-A-I-S-I-S-A-E-F-I-R-S-E, period. A T R E I F T A E S E C O N G D period. A N D N O W T A E T H I R D period.
You'll notice that my enter key is silent. When I press enter, I actually go into key labels and mute the enter key, and I also mute the tab key so I don't have to hear it saying alt tab, alt tab, alt tab when I'm going between application windows. Now, I've got three lines of text.
Top of file, this is the first.
And that is the first line. And
is the first.
And I'm going to drop a place marker on the word first in this first sentence. And to drop a place marker,
you must save this document before marking a place through it.
Now, before I actually drop the place marker on this, the first thing you've got to do is save your document. You've got to give it a name because it's going to associate the place marker with the name of your file. So I'll just give this one a name of test.
Alt F, save. Edit, save as dialog, file name, colon, edit, comma, this is the T-E-S-T.
So I'm sitting on the word first on my first line, and I'm going to drop the place marker with a control Windows key, K.
Marking place.
And it marked the place right there in the document. So now, as I continue to read through my document.
Here is the second, and now the third.
If I want to get back to that point where I was prior, I can use Windows K.
Returning to marked place first.
And it puts me right back, brings my cursor back, and puts me on that first line on the word first, where I had marked it originally. Now, this wouldn't matter had I moved forward several pages in the document. I could always jump back to that point. If I saved this document, which I did, if I shut it down and I reboot my computer tomorrow, and I open this file back up, that place marker will still be at the last location where it was assigned. You're allowed one place marker per document, but you can have as many place markers for as documents that you have. So each document can have its own. Now, if I move down,
here is the second, and now the third,
to the third line,
third,
and I'll go to the word third. If I drop the place marker here, Control Windows Key K,
marking place.
I have now moved the spot down to that bottom line, so it'll be off the top.
Here is the second.
I moved back up to the second line. I'll do a Windows key K, and I should move to the word third.
Returning to marked place, third.
And there it is. So you have one place marker, and if you drop it, wherever you drop it, it will take it from where it was, and it will move it to the new place, and it'll be there for you tomorrow. Now, someone might say, well, there's a bookmark feature in Word. Why don't we just use the bookmark feature to do this? The difficulty with bookmarks, if you're trying to do it for this purpose, is that a bookmark actually modifies your actual document. It saves the bookmark inside the document, And when you're done, if you pass the document to someone and you had a bookmark in it, they'll get your bookmark. The place marker is not. It's stored in your user settings. It doesn't change the document itself. It's related to the document, but it doesn't change it. Now, one other thing that's nice about this, sometimes you're in a document and you've found a spot that you want to start a text selection from, but you want to just read forward because you're not quite sure how far you want to select, and you'd rather just do it with a say all to get to the point, and then you would like to be able to mark from that previous location up to that section. Or maybe you pick your spot and you start moving backwards because you know you want to select text up to that spot. Wherever you have dropped your mark, you can now move your cursor away. So I'm on the third line on the word third.
Here is the second. This is the first.
And
first, the, is, this.
I'll move all the way to the beginning. So I'm right at the top of my document, but I could be anywhere in between. And now I'm going to tell JAWS, mark my text between my cursor location and the place marker that I have in the document. In order to do that, it's JAWS key space to get into that layered mode, and the letter M for mark.
This is the first dot, here is the second dot, and now the selected, selecting between marked place and current position.
So it selected the text that it just read, everything except for the word third on the third line, because that's where the marker was. So it selected from the beginning up to that point. So that's a great little feature, something that comes from note takers, and I think users will take advantage of this. You'll find it in Microsoft Word, all versions. This will also be in Outlook 2010 and 2007 because it uses Word as its editor, so you should be able to take advantage of it there as well. So that's it, the Word Place Marker feature. JAWS Settings Center. Well, for years now, we've been using something in JAWS called the Configuration Manager. And as JAWS has evolved and grown and gotten much larger and many new dialog boxes, the Configuration Manager has become a bit unwieldy, and trying to locate features inside of JAWS has become more difficult as a result. You'd open up one dialog, tab through it, can't find the thing you're looking for, close that dialog, back to the menus, open up the next dialog, and start looking again. So it was time to make a change. We've been meaning to for a while, and we've gotten around to it in JAWS 12, and I think the users that have already experienced it find it to be a blessing, and those of you who haven't are going to love it. So we're going to give it a whirl. I'll show you how it works. So the idea behind the Settings Center in JAWS 12 is anything that was in the Configuration Manager will now be handled through the Settings Center. There are still adjustments in JAWS, like the Options Dialog, Voice Profiles, the Insert V JAWS options. Those things are not in the Settings Center at this time, but anything that was in the Configuration Manager is. To get to the Settings Center, you use the same keystroke as the Configuration Manager, Insert 6, or you can go to Insert F2 and choose Settings Center from the list of managers. This does replace Configuration Manager, so you will not find it if you've been looking for it. You'll land in the Settings Center just like this.
JAWS window dash JAWS Settings Center dialog, search box edit.
And it lands me in a search box, and it loaded up the JAWS Settings Center with the JAWS window file open because the last thing I was focused on was the JAWS window. To set it to the default file, I'll do a Control-Shift-D.
JAWS Settings Center dash default left paren all applications right paren.
There is a combo box in the prior control to the one you land where you can go in and open up the combo box and pick the file that you want. But Control-Shift-D is what I normally do because I'm usually making my adjustments to the default file. But if you are making application-specific settings, go to the application, launch the Settings Center from that application, and it will load up a file of its name. We landed in an edit field, and the beauty of this is that if you know somewhat what you're looking for, you can just start to type that in, and it will search through and find it. So, for instance, if I was looking for typing echo, I could type in the word TYP, or I could even just type in echo, ECHO.
ECHO. Type in echo, one of two search results.
It found two things that included the word echo.
Two search results list box, type in echo characters, user. Screen echo, echo highlighted text.
So there are the two choices, typing echo and screen echo, and it populated the list immediately following that with just those two items. Now,
type in echo characters.
If you were looking to change this right from the list, you just hit the space bar.
Words, 3 of 4. Character and words, 4 of 4.
And it's cycling through those radio button choices that are available for this and always have been.
Off 1 to 4. Characters 2 of 4.
And tells you what it is. So you can just set it up right there with the space bar. That's all you have to do. Then you can apply it or tab down to OK and press Enter, and you're done. So it's very quick to find it. I didn't have to guess where that feature might be. So, Dan, have you played around with this much? What do you think?
Eric, I love this feature. I think the search edit box is just genius.
Good. From the search edit box, once you've searched for something like we just did and I moved to Typing Echo, you have two choices. Well, you have three. You could shift tab back and type in a different word in the field, but you could press escape, which will just put you back where you were in the list before you did the search for the word echo, or you can press enter, which I'll do now.
Search edit box cleared. 3 view. Typing echo characters. 2 of 7.
And it put me inside the entire tree view of all settings at the location of Typing Echo. So if I wanted to look around and see where it was located and see what else was related to it, I find it right there. If I'm not sure what the feature is that I'm looking at, wherever I am in the tree, I can press tab. So I'm sitting on Typing Echo. If I tab once,
read only edit.
I'm in a help window, just like with Research It that I showed you in the previous section, and I can do a say all here.
Use the radio buttons in this group to determine how much feedback is received when typing and pressing keys. You may choose either characters, words, both characters and words, or none so that jaws remain silent as you type. Character echo is the default. You can toggle Typing Echo settings by pressing Insert plus 2. This allows you to cycle through the different options without using Settings Center.
So it gives you some pointers about that particular feature. It also, in each case, will tell you what the default setting was so that if you've made an adjustment to it, then later you come back, you can always find out what it should be by default without having to look it up and worry about it. It's always right there in the help message. Now,
tree view, Typing Echo characters.
One of the other things this tree view contains, I'll go to the bottom.
End, level 0, last changed settings, closed, 20 of 20.
It offers something called last changed settings. And
last changed settings, open. One.
I opened it up.
Level 1, manage key labels, .. left parent keyboard, right parent, 1 of 1.
So manage key labels, I mentioned earlier that I have the enter key and the tab key muted whenever I press them. And that's under manage key labels, so there's where I changed it. And that's the only thing that I've changed in the Settings Center so far. So let's go back up to the top, and I'll change something else now. I'm going to Shift-Tab back to Applications.
Search box edit.
Or to the search box. And I'm going to type in the word RIB for ribbon.
RIB. Use virtual ribbon menu. 1 of 1 search results.
I'll move down, and we'll change this.
1 search results list box. Use virtual ribbon menu not checked. Miscellaneous.
So use virtual ribbons menu. It's not checked. I'm going to check it so I can use virtual ribbon menus. It's the next thing I'm going to demonstrate, actually, on the What's New recording.
Checked.
So I've checked it. I'll apply that.
Alta.
And now I'll just hit escape.
Escape. Tree view. Manage key labels. .. Left parent keyboard. Right parent. 2 of 2.
And I'm back in.
Last change settings.
Last change settings. And now, as I down arrow.
Level 1. Use virtual ribbon menu. Left parent miscellaneous. Right parent checked. 1 of 2. Manage key labels. .. Left parent keyboard. Right parent.
So there's two items now down there in the last change settings. Those things are stored in my users folder. And if I forget what I've changed, or if I'm having problems and the tech support people can't figure it out, this is one of the places that they're going to go. They're going to come right down to my last settings changed, and this will show you the last 25 things that you've adjusted in the Settings Center so that you can figure out exactly what it is that might be making the behavior different. So that's the Settings Center. It's really nice with that search window. It's just like the start menu in Windows 7. And in Vista, where you can just type something in and it just populates the list with it, I think people will really take advantage of this and really be able to go in and make some of the adjustments that they wanted to make, but they just couldn't find them before. So have fun with the Settings Center. Virtual ribbon menus. Well, with the release of Microsoft Office 2007, and now with the release of Windows 7, and a new version of Office, and a lot of applications that are being deployed to run under Windows 7, there is a new menu system, and they call them ribbons. And ribbons are a replacement for what's been there. The purpose or the idea behind ribbons was that it would put more items on the screen and make it easier for someone who's looking at the screen and using a mouse to quickly select items without having to open menus and go through dialog boxes, much the way we had with the configuration manager problem. Sighted people had the same issue because they would open up a dialog, wouldn't find what they wanted, and would have to go back to the menus and find the next dialog. So the ribbons kind of place all of the features that would be found in these dialog boxes to you in like a multi-tab list box or a multi-tab dialog box, and kind of presents everything there. And easily with a mouse, you can navigate this thing. Unfortunately, if you use a keyboard to navigate these things, they're very unpredictable. You cannot necessarily know when you've left one group and entered another if you've seen every item in the prior group. It's very easy to get out of sync, and it's difficult to learn how to navigate these things. And unfortunately, the keystrokes, and there is a keystroke to do just about everything now, I think, on ribbons, but the keystroke sequences don't necessarily make a lot of sense because there's so many items and so few keystrokes, so they couldn't really take the things that make sense for every item. They just plugged letters and numbers on things. So it's difficult to memorize all of that. Now, for somebody who has been using ribbons for a while and has become very good with the ribbons and knows how to navigate it, knows exactly where they're going, I think they'll find, and they have found, that JAWS works very well with the ribbons the way they are presented. Unfortunately, those of you who haven't experienced ribbons yet or mastered it, I think you're going to continue to struggle. And in the release of JAWS 12, we've provided you an alternative solution called Virtual Ribbon Menus. Now, these are off by default. You will find them in the Startup Wizard. You can also go to the Settings Center and type in virtual or type in RIB for ribbon, and you'll find it, and you can turn it on. And I encourage you to try this. Turn it on and experiment around. If you have Office 2007, you can do it there. If you have Windows 7, you can try it out in Office 2007 or 10, or you can even just try it out in WordPad, which is where I'll go now. I'm going to go to the Run Dialog.
Windows R. Run dialog. Type.
And I'll type in WordPad.
WORDPAD.
And press Enter.
Document - WordPad. Rich text window edit.
Now, WordPad contains menus in a ribbon structure. So we're going to go through and navigate this, and I'll kind of explain it as we go. If I hit the Alt key.
Virtual ribbons. Home tab.
We hear JAWS report virtual ribbons, and that's the clue that you have virtual ribbons turned on. And it tells you what tab you're on, which is the Home tab. And you think of the top upper tab, or the first tab you land on, as a menu bar. So you can right and left arrow here.
View tab. Get help using WordPad. Help button. Click here to open, save, or print, and to see everything else you can do with your document. Application menu button drop-down grid. Home tab.
And it wrapped around to the Home tab. So think of that as your menu bar. Now, if I open the Home tab or the Home menu, I can press down arrow or Enter to open it. I'll down arrow.
Lower ribbon, clipboard sub menu.
And we land on something that's called the lower ribbon. And the lower ribbon is presented horizontally to someone sighted looking at the screen. But we want to think of the lower ribbon as a regular menu opened off of a menu bar. So think of it as a vertical menu that you move up and down with the arrow keys to navigate. So let's try that.
Font submenu. Paragraph submenu.
And each item in the lower ribbon contains what we refer to as a submenu, because that's what menu systems used to do, and that's really what it is. But it contains a group of things. So I'm going to continue to down arrow. We'll see. We're going to wrap right back around.
Insert submenu. Editing submenu. Clipboard submenu. Font submenu.
And as we move through this thing, there's a focus rectangle that goes around the entire block of items, the things that are contained inside the submenu.
Paragraph submenu.
So inside paragraph, there are about 10 items to choose from, 10 different icons that you can see on screen that a sighted person would click. And there's a focus rectangle now that we're with a big shading thing. So someone sighted looking at your screen is going to be able to follow exactly where you are. We kind of link you from the virtual ribbons back to the main ribbon so that somebody can follow along. Now, to open a submenu, you'd press Enter or right arrow. I'll right arrow at this point.
Decrease indent button.
And I land inside that submenu on the decrease indent button. And now up and down arrow just like you would in other menus.
Increase indent button. List split button. Change line spacing button drop down. Align text left button pressed. Align text center button.
So you can see the align left was pressed.
Align text right button. justify text button, paragraph button, decrease indent button.
And we wrap back to the top. So this is kind of nice. Now I can get inside one of these groups of things, and I can stay inside that group of things. If you're using the Microsoft ribbons, these are presented to you in two rows, and you could arrow across the row, and when you keep arrowing to the right, it would just move you on to the next group of things, and you would completely miss the lower or second row of items in the group that you were in. So it was not predictable, and this is very predictable. The other thing you could do here is use first letter navigation. So if you know what you're looking for, you could just press the first letter, and I'll do A now for align.
A, align text, left button pressed.
And since there is more than one thing that begins with the letter A, it just lets me move between them.
A, align text, center button. A, align text, right button. A, align text, left button pressed.
Okay, so I'll move over to the right.
A, align text, right button.
And press enter.
Leaving menus, rich text window edit.
And we land back in our window, so your cursor is now going to be on the right side of your document. And you've left the menu system, and that's the way it worked in the ribbons. Once you chose something, you would leave the ribbon completely, and to get back to it, you had to go back to the home tab and find your way back to that location. Well, we made virtual ribbons so that they remember where you were. So if I decided I didn't want a line left, I wanted centered, I can hit the Alt key.
Lower ribbon, align text, right button pressed.
And it puts me right back on the last thing I had changed. So now I can up arrow.
Align text, center button.
To center, press enter.
Leaving menus, rich text window edit.
And I'm right back in my document, and now my cursor is in the center of the document, and I'm ready to go with centered text. So that's a little bit about how the virtual ribbons work with those individual buttons. Let's move back and look at how we work with edit fields. Because edits inside virtual ribbons or inside ribbons are very difficult.
Lower ribbon, align text, center button pressed.
So I'm going to escape to move one level back.
Escape, paragraph, submenu.
It's like I closed that submenu, and now I'm going to up arrow.
Font submenu.
To the font one, and I'll right arrow into it.
Calibri 11, font family edit combo, Calibri.
And we landed in an edit combo box, but we did not put a cursor there. So we're kind of like we're in virtual mode instead of forms mode here. So we're not going to be stuck. I can down arrow.
Font size edit combo, 11.
And I go to the next edit combo where the point size is. If you want to change this, it's really simple. I'm going to just open up the edit combo with an alt down arrow, standard Windows command to open edit combos.
11.
And we heard forms mode go on, so I can start typing, or I can arrow through the list.
12, 14.
And I'll go to 14 and press Alt up arrow to close it.
14.
And it turned forms mode off, and I'm back in virtual mode, so now I can down arrow.
Pro font button, shrink font button.
And I'm moving right through the rest of the choices in the font group or font submenu.
Bold button, italic button.
And I can continue on from there. So that's a little bit about virtual menus. Again, first letter navigation, you can move through and deal with edit combo boxes like you were on a web page and use forms mode to adjust them. It recalls where you were, so if you've made a change and then hit the Alt key to go back to the menus, it'll put you back in the same location that you last edited. And if you're done and you want to move to the upper level, you can just press Escape to close the menus and work your way back.
Escape, font submenu, Escape, virtual ribbons, home tab.
And there we are. So we're always no more than two escapes back to the menu bar. If I hit escape again,
escape, leaving menu bar, leaving menus, rich text window edit,
I'm right back in my document. Now, one thing that you must realize that if you either have to make a choice with a keyboard navigation, if you're going to use the virtual ribbon menu, our option, then you have to just use first letter navigation. All of the Microsoft keystrokes available in the Microsoft ribbon solution are going to be disabled at that point. So you're just using first letter navigation of the items instead of the assignments that they've put on every item. If you are comfortable using the ribbons the way Microsoft has presented them, and you've already learned all the keystrokes, just leave the virtual ribbon menu turned off and you can use it in that fashion. But I hope you experiment with it. Every user that I've sat down and we've gone over this has adopted to this quickly, and I don't think they're going to want to go back. Virtual ribbon menus, a great new feature. Say all schemes for web pages. We've added a new say all scheme for those of you who use web pages and would prefer not to hear JAWS say the word link and heading as you're reading through a web page with a say all. And let me give you an example of why you might want to turn this feature on. I think those of you who've been using JAWS a while and are used to it saying link all the time probably don't even notice it anymore, but this is a kind of a nice feature, and you might want to take advantage of it. I'm going to go to Wikipedia. I'm going to do it through the Research It dialog box because it's a quick way to get there.
Research It dialog, word or phrase edit combo.
And we'll look up JAWS for Windows.
JAWSFOR.INDOWS. Leaving menus, list view, NFL scores, 14 of 23. W, weather, W, Wikipedia.
And there's Wikipedia. And so if I press enter.
Wikipedia, JAWS for Windows.
We get a little description from Wikipedia.
JAWS left parent, an acronym for job access with speech right parent, is a screen reader, a software program for visual.
Well, at the bottom of this.
At freedom compared to display and the link, click for full article.
There's a link here for full article, which will put us on Wikipedia, which is where I want to demonstrate this new feature.
Click for full article L, connecting .. 1%, 100%. Page has 11 headings and 149 links. JAWS.
Okay, so we landed in Wikipedia on the JAWS screen reader page, and you heard it was 140-something links on this page. And if we move to the location where I have set up a place marker earlier to get to a good reading point, so I'll hit the letter K to move to the location of my place marker.
JAWS left parent, an acronym for job access.
And I'll start a say all there. Let's listen to it.
JAWS left parent, an acronym for job access with speech right parent, is a link screen reader, a software program for link visually impaired users, produced by the blind and low vision group at Link Freedom Scientific of Link ST, Petersburg, Florida, Link USA. Its purpose is to make personal computers using Link Microsoft Windows accessible to.
Okay, I stopped speech, so you get the idea. There's about 5 or 6 links there in the first couple lines of text on the page. And the word link, like with the word heading, tends to interrupt our reading. And in a say-all, it would be nice to just have it skip saying that word. And maybe, better yet, have it play a little sound if it sees a link, so at least I know it was there, but don't say the word link. So there's a couple ways to adjust it, the setting center being one, but I think it's even easier here with Insert V.
Adjust JAWS options dialog, preview, Internet Explorer options open.
And this is a say-all scheme. I'll hit say all.
S-A-Y. Level 0, say all options opened, 3 items. Level 1, scheme dash no change, 1 of 3, say
and
all
there,
options.
And there it is right at the top. I'll press the space bar.
Scheme dash say all text with sounds.
So there's the choice that I like. Read the text that is a link, but indicate it with a sound.
Scheme dash say all text only.
And there you might even have it have no sound or say the word link. It'll just read the text.
Scheme dash no change.
No change is the default where it says the word link. So I'll switch to sound.
Scheme dash say all text with sounds.
And press enter. And now I'll go back to the top of the page with the control home.
JAWS left parent screen reader right.
And press the letter K to move back to my spot.
JAWS left parent, an acronym for job.
And start a say all.
JAWS left parent, an acronym for job access with speech right parent, is a screen reader, a software program for visually impaired users, produced by the blind and low vision group at Freedom Scientific of ST, Petersburg, Florida, USA. Its purpose is to make personal computers using Microsoft Windows accessible to blind.
So I stopped it at that location, and it's a very subtle sound. There's a little tick in the background every time it's going over a link. It's just enough to clue into me that there was a link there, and I can always go back and read it. And if I read this by line,
Link Microsoft Windows.
You'll get the word link, and it still separates the links out on their own line, so.
Its purpose is to make Link USA, Link ST, Petersburg, Florida.
Reading by line, you'll still get those links and be able to press enter, but during a say all, it's nice and smooth. So try that out. It's, again, say all in the Insert V dialog box, and then just go to say all schemes and hit the space bar to adjust it. I think you'll enjoy that. JAWS Braille In. Well, with earlier versions of JAWS, we started to introduce an option where people could control windows more from a Braille keyboard on a Braille display or note taker. And JAWS 12 has picked up on that, and we've improved upon it and added to it. So JAWS Braille In is the feature, and the idea is that if you've got a Perkins-style keyboard, then you're connected to your PC running JAWS for Windows. You should not have to use your QWERTY keyboard on the computer. You can just use the Perkins-style keyboard on your Braille display to drive it. Now, one of the things that was required in order for this to work is that manufacturers of Braille displays would need to rewrite their driver to a new driver specification, which we defined and laid out so that they'd be able to take full advantage of this feature and something I'm going to talk about in a couple of minutes called contracted braille input. So over the past year and a half, Freedom Scientific has put together a great program for manufacturers to participate in, and I'm happy to say that all the major manufacturers of braille displays have participated with us in this, and they've rewritten drivers to the new specification to take advantage of the great new features now in JAWS for Windows with their displays. And users of those third-party braille displays should contact the manufacturer. They've got their drivers posted on the website. You should be able to download them and install them on your PC if you've got JAWS for Windows 11 or higher, and take advantage of it. And the nice thing is that once the driver is installed on your computer, it is stored in a location where JAWS will find it with later versions. So next year, if you come along and you install the new version of JAWS, your Braille display driver will be on the computer and it will be able to find it and take advantage of it. You won't have to go and download and install it again. But the nice thing for the manufacturers is if they make modifications to their displays or they would like to make improvements to their driver to take advantage of functionality that exists on their display, which may not exist on others, they can modify those drivers, send it through the test plan that we've provided to them, and if it tests out, they'll send us their results, they'll send us the driver, we'll test it, verify it, we'll sign the driver, give it back to them, and they can upload it immediately. They don't have to wait for the next version of JAWS, so they can be very proactive for their customers and get these things posted right away. And from the customer standpoint, you can rest assured that if you've got a driver from a manufacturer that work on JAWS 11 or 12, that it's been tested. It's been tested by the manufacturer of the display. It's been tested by Freedom Scientific. We've all seen the functionality, agree that everything is working right, and when you get that installed, it's going to function correctly. You're not going to have to worry about it being broken. Okay, so Braille In allows you to do all of these keyboard commands. So anything you can do in Windows, you can now drive from that Perkins-style Braille keyboard. In the What's New write-up for JAWS 12, you'll find a link to the Focus Braille display commands. And if you do have access to a Focus Braille display, you can view all of those keystrokes that you would do on your Perkins-style keyboard to drive Windows. If you've got a third-party manufactured display, contact them and they can give you the list of commands for their display. The other thing and the nice benefit of JAWS 12 with this Braille In feature is that now not only can you type computer Braille from your Perkins-style keyboard, but you can actually type contracted Braille input right from the Perkins-style keyboard. So if you're in a Word document or an email message or Notepad or WordPad or filling out a form on a web page, you can now do that with contracted Braille. Take your Braille display over to your easy chair, leave your computer on the desk, and with your Braille display, it's all you need. You can answer your emails, write your documents, and do it all with contracted Braille input. This is the first time available on a Windows PC from a Windows screen reader to be able to do this, and we think users are really going to enjoy it and take advantage of it. And as I said, all the manufacturers now have signed up, and most have got their drivers posted. So if they have a Perkins-style keyboard on their display, you should be able to do contracted Braille input. If you can't, contact them right away and ask them what the status is. They should be getting that implemented immediately. Text Analyzer. Well, JAWS 12 is introducing another new feature, and I'm going to spend some time now trying to describe this to you. We called it the Text Analyzer. The idea behind Text Analyzer is it gives you a tool to look at your documents or your email and help you to find inconsistencies in those documents that otherwise might be difficult to find. Inconsistencies are things like point size changes, font changes, attribute changes, maybe extra spaces or inverted capitalization, or you've missed a capital letter. Just things that don't quite look right. And the functionality of the Text Analyzer is to go through and help identify those for you. If you're someone who's creating a professional document to send to someone, you wouldn't want to send it with a open parenthesis or double spaces in a particular place or a missing capitalization in the beginning of a sentence. Or even mixed fonts. Oftentimes when we go to emails and we select text from one email and paste it into another, we're mixing and matching fonts, and things look very unusual inside some of the messages that we see on listservs and that come in through tech support and so forth. The text analyzer is a good feature to be able to help users identify it, and let's take a look at how it works. So, first of all, I have a document here where I've written some sentences that have problems, and in the sentence itself, I've described what's wrong so that when we read it, we'll be able to tell. So I'm just going to start a say-all here with text analyzer off, and we'll listen to what JAWS says on these sentences.
In the following sentence, the first letter in the sentence is not capitalized as it should be. The letter T in the first word of the sentence is the problem. Look at this line. There are extra spaces between the words in two different places. Quote Eric said that we have had many comments over the years about the appearance of documents and email messages from our customers. This feature will go a long way in helping correct these issues for JAWS users. On this line, there is no open parentheses right paren. O and this line, the letter N is capitalized but the O in on is not. Notice the inconsistencies with bold text. Page 2. Notice left brace the stray punctuation, right brace with brackets. Quote Eric said, quote review this line. Left paren notice how the different punctuation errors are identified. On this left brace line, there is inconsistencies with braces and spaces. Here I is out. Quote Eric said, review the inconsistencies with font capitalization, spacing, and punctuation.
Okay, so I'll move back up to the top of all of that text.
Okay, O on way of quote place, look at this line. That should be in the blank in the following sentence.
And there's a couple of different ways of doing this. Text analyzer can be used at any time, any place, with the following keyboard command. Alt, Windows key, I. So I have to press and hold the Alt key and the Windows key and hit the letter I to move to the next inconsistency from my current location.
Missing initial cap T at column 12.
And it moved my cursor to the small t on the letter the at the beginning of the second sentence. And I can review right from there. If I have a Braille display, I'll see that line right there, and I could make that correction immediately. I'll do a Windows key Alt-I to move to the next one.
Space run at column 8.
So there is a space run. I have extra spaces here, and it put me at that location, and I can review. So I'll move to the left a word.
At.
And I'll move to the right a word.
This.
But I'll left arrow now back to the word at.
Space, 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 T.
So there were three spaces there where there shouldn't have been.
Space.
Okay, I'll do an Alt, Windows key, I again.
Space run at column 62.
Okay, so further on, there's another one. I'll move to the left.
Words.
I'll move to the right.
In.
And I'll move with the left arrow a space at a time.
Space, space, space.
Same thing.
S.
Three spaces
space.
There. So you get the idea. You can walk through these inconsistencies anytime, any place with the Alt, Windows key, I. And again, this will work in your Word documents, it'll work in your email messages, WordPad, Notepad, IE forms. If you're using webmail and things like that, you can go through and check these out. Now, the other thing that you can do, I'll move back up to the first line.
Should be in the following sentence, the first home.
I can go to the beginning. You can insert spacebar and the letter T for text analyzer.
The text analyzer will describe all inconsistencies.
I'll press insert spacebar T again.
The text analyzer is off.
It turns it off. So we'll turn it on.
The text analyzer will describe all inconsistencies.
And I'll read this line.
In the following sentence, the first letter in the sentence is not capitalized, is it?
And I'll down arrow to the next line.
Missing initial cap T at column 12. Should be the letter T in the first word of the sentence is the problem.
So the letter T, the T in the, is the 12th character in this line, so they said it was the 12th column. I'll down arrow.
Space run at column 8. Space run at column 62. Look at this line. There are extra spaces between the words in two different places.
Okay, so there were two spaces along that line that had extra spaces. It told us about both, and then it read the line. So this is kind of nice. You can just down arrow through your document and hear about the inconsistencies. Now let's keep going.
Unclosed quote at column 1. Quote Eric said that we have had many comments over the years about the appearance of documents and email messages from our customers. This feature will go a long way in helping correct these issues for JAWS users.
So there was a quote at the beginning, but we never closed it, and it gave us that information when we landed on it.
An open right paren at column 43. On this line, there is no open parentheses right paren.
Okay, so it found one parenthesis, but it didn't find the beginning one, so it told us.
Inverted cap O at column 1. O and this line, the letter N is capitalized, but the O in on is not.
And as soon as we land on the line, it gave us the information, and then the line confirmed it because I wrote in the line, of course, what was wrong.
Font change at column 12. Font change at column 42. Notice the inconsistencies with bold text.
So at column 12, the text turns bold, and then bold ends at the end. So it told us about it changing at 12. I'll up arrow and down arrow so we hear that again.
Inverted font change at column 12. Font change at column 42. Notice the inconsistencies with bold text.
So between 12 and 42, that text would be bolded. And, of course, you can move over to it, do an insert F, and get the information about the text.
Page 2, stray punctuation left brace at column 8. Notice left brace the stray punctuation right brace with brackets.
So a stray punctuation. So there is a left bracket and a right bracket, but there is something wrong, and we can move to that location. We would actually discover in my document there that there was a space between the bracket and the text that there shouldn't have been. So it pointed out that problem to me, and it lets me go and find it.
Unclosed quote at column 1, unclosed quote at column 12, unclosed left parent at column 31, quote Eric said, quote review this line, left parent notice how the different punctuation errors are identified.
So there were three different problems. It told us about all three, and then it read the line to us. So Text Analyzer, I think, is a dynamite feature. We will continue to get feedback from users, and we'll continue to make modifications on this one in the future. I hope you'll give it a try. If you're someone who is producing a bunch of documents and you're caring that other people seeing what you're producing, it looks right, it looks proper, take advantage of the Text Analyzer. I think this will go a long way in helping to ensure that you get those right. Wrap up? Well, I think that puts the wrap, Stan, on another What's New. I wish we could have gotten Joe Stephen in on this one. I know I was talking to Joe. He lives down in Australia, and he was anxious to get on. He loves the Text Analyzer. He's a programmer. He uses it to help him find mistakes in his coding and in his documents that he's creating. So I know he raves about the feature, and he definitely wanted to be on. But, of course, with the hour differences, I wasn't able to schedule him today to be here with us. But I want to thank all the developers, especially I want to thank all of the private beta testers that participated with us during the private beta cycle for 12. And I will tell you the public response to this version has been great. We got fantastic feedback and a lot of modifications and changes to the features and fixed a lot of things that people have been reporting, have been having some troubles with. I think folks should pay attention. One of the new features that I didn't demonstrate here or talk to you about much is the notification for updates automatically. If we come out with a update to JAWS 12, as soon as we release it, when you start JAWS the next morning, it'll let you know that there's an update available. So you don't have to go to the Check for Updates menu anymore. JAWS will tell you that it's there. Now, you still have to choose to accept it and download it. We won't force you to it, but we're going to let you know it's there. Take advantage of it. I hope to continue to have updates very often throughout the course of the year as we get things that come in through support, that get escalated up, that we get resolved. If I think that a lot of people could take advantage of those changes and those fixes, we'll be rolling them out on monthly updates if we can. So keep an eye out for that update available. And as soon as they come up, please get them installed. We'll test them good, and you can be assured that everything will work out just fine when you install it. And they'll be much smaller now, too, because we're going to do them more often. So you'll see that the updates are much smaller. So, Dan, thanks very much, and can't wait till the next time. We'll get together again real soon.
Thanks, Eric. I appreciate it.
Okay.